This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And it is time for our manager's report with Mike Chilt, brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better. We bring the skipper on board. Congratulations. You were right, Mike. It was historic last night. The first time in Padres franchise history, three straight walk-off home runs at Petco Park. Hey, that was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun, yeah. You know, I've never experienced anything like that. So you felt like pretty rare. So, you know, organization's been around for a while, but man, pretty cool.
It's definitely cool. And I was, you know, obviously watching the game last night, and I thought to myself when it happened, it was such a sigh of relief. I know you had to be feeling it too. I know Jeremiah Estrada probably feeling it as well. And what a gamer he was to step up last night and take the ball, Skip. And you know, for you though, you know, and everybody knows, that's not the best sustainable way to win baseball games in the future, but I'll sure take them over losses right now.
Yeah, I think that's pretty clear. Not sustainable, but, you know, look, you win games in weird ways, and you play 162 games, man, you're going to have different kind of games. And I think we've all seen that following baseball over the years. And, you know, it was a game we're just glad to come on the good side of.
Got home runs from both Manny and Tatis. I mean, that is such a welcome sight for Padres fans. But I want to talk about Jackson Merrill and this recent power surge, because, you know, I remember kind of hearing the scouting reports going, at some point in his career, this guy might, you know, develop some power to go with all the other tools that he has, but didn't expect kind of to happen right away. Six home runs in eight games. Are you seeing anything, you know, different from Jackson? Where is this coming from right now?
You know, Jackson's throwback is kind of not a great way of describing it, but my point I'm getting at, first of all, he did something that only Willie Mays has done, God rest his soul, you know, passing of an obvious legend and a real miss for our game. But what an icon and what an example of greatness on and off the field. But what I'm getting at with Jackson, you know, 100 years ago when I was doing this and the game was played a little differently and taught a little differently, right or wrong, in general, guys like Jackson, or guys just in general, would learn how to hit. They'd learn how to hit the ball the other way. They'd learn how to, you know, be a good hitter. And then the power would come, and they would learn how to get comfortable and, you know, pick their spots. And they had a stroke that allowed them to use the whole field, which allowed them to have consistent at-bats. And then, as we all know, the game morphed into more of an all-or-nothing outcome. Well, in that case, I think Jackson's a little bit of a throwback. You know, he's a guy that has really good bat-to-ball skills, values that, you know, just trying to take good at-bats, getting his hits, getting on base, you know, taking what the game gives him. And now is, you know, maturing quickly, I would add, into learning how to drive the ball. You know, I don't like to compare players, but Jimmy Evans was like that. If you follow his career, didn't hit a lot of minor league homers, didn't hit a lot of power, and ended up becoming a borderline Hall of Famer, and a guy that ended up having some big moments with some big power. But he came up learning how to hit, and that was a little bit more of the way it used to be, and that's what Jackson has done.
Do you see it, Skip, getting back to that a little bit? I mean, you got guys like Stephen Kwan, you got guys like, you know, your very own Luis Arraez, you got Jackson Merrill. Are you seeing maybe a little bit of a return to, you know, hit first, power later?
I'm not seeing some kind of trend that I can, oh, man, we're going back to that. I do see certain – I do see more of it. I do think the game – you know, I haven't had as much touch points with them, you know, being able to travel around and see minor leagues and last offseason didn't spend as much time as typical, and I will this year going to, you know, a lot of my high school and coaching friends and seeing their programs and talking to them, because I always try to typically do, you know, talk to what the players are like and what's taking place and scouts and what's coming up, because that's the future of our game. And I'm always curious about, you know, we say things trickle down, but really, you know, players and philosophies and how amateurs are playing, a lot of that, how they're thinking, how they're being trained, that typically trickles up. So the point I'm getting is I don't know if it's taking place or trending in that direction. I do see some teams, us being one of them, having a little bit more of a holistic approach to hitting, using the whole field. So I do see that philosophy coming back a little bit in certain areas of the game. But I couldn't tell you if the players are trending in that way or not.
Mike, I want to ask you about your bullpen. You know, I made this point earlier that simply in terms of volume of games, you guys have played more than anybody else in baseball. Less off days, more games, quite a bit more than some teams, like seven more than other teams at this point. You know, I'm not saying that I'm not overreacting to one or two games this past week, but, you know, your bullpen has been worked a lot. There's been some ups, there's been some downs. What are you kind of seeing in terms of how you can get a little more consistency out of the pen, and you know, are you anticipating a move to try to bring some reinforcements here?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into AJ space about the move. I got my hands full as it is. He's on top of our club, and you know, I like our club. You know, this is something that, you know, you'll probably ask me in another 3 to 4 weeks, and I'll give a similar answer. But it's a legitimate question, and I get it, and it's a fairly, I mean, overall, it's a general question. I'll give you a simple, what I see as a simple and general answer. Bullpens are as good as the starting pitching, you know, and that's just the fact of the matter, you know. And when you have, not solely, I won't say that, so it'll be a longer answer, but at the starting point, you know, if starters go deeper in games, then you keep your bullpen fresh. And when your bullpen's fresh, they're usually more efficient. Pretty common, right? Pretty basic.
Sure.
And, you know, it's also interesting because, rightfully so, you know, so if you don't get starting pitching going past, you know, 4 or 5 innings consistently, which I think 4 of our last starts. And look, I like our starters. It's just, you know, the other side's trying too. We played some good clubs. We've had some good approaches. You know, they're competing their tail off. But, you know, their bullets get spit. And then you get to a certain point in the game where you got to make a decision. You know, and sometimes you ride your starter a little bit longer and because your bullpen is a little depleted. But you get 4 out of 5 games and you're in your bullpen the 4th or 5th inning. And you're in a stretch of games where, you know, we had 13 day off, now we're 13. To your point, we played more games than anybody in the game, you know, starting early with in Seoul. So, you know, your bullpen's going to get a little taxed. And then you're going to, because of that, it gets, the dominoes get out of place a little bit in the sense of, you know, giving guys rest. Like, it's just the case. The guys have to pitch and have to carry the mail. And, you know, sometimes they're not as effective. And then the other side of that, on the bullpen side of it, that they have ownership in is, and we all have ownership in it, you know, make sure they're put in the right place, but is being efficient when they're in there. And when you're a little more fatigued or you're, you know, and I feel like we've done a good job outside of Jeremiah going 3 of passing the ball around, and not trying to sacrifice, you know, them for competition. And still try to win games, which, you know, is clearly the end goal. Marrying those two is a, you know, Hatfield-McCoy marriage some days. And so them being efficient allows them to be able to bounce back and not have to use another guy to get through to win games. And, you know, the wrap-up point about bullpens is, you know, I see people understand, but in the moment or in a silo, I've said this before, and it's a great example was given to me more recently. It's in a video game, you know, where, yeah, I can bring this guy in, and he's fresh, and he can just pitch. And these guys can't pitch every day. And like I said, we pushed guys, you know, to go answer. And they know there's going to be times in the season relievers. Randy Choate, old left-hand reliever, used to have a T-shirt said, relievers are people, too. and, you know, so it's a long answer to your question, but bullpen, that's broad strokes, simple way of putting it, in what can be a somewhat a complex of operating. But, you know, it's just interesting to me how people do view bullpens and having done it for, you know, 25, 30 years, however long. It's, you know, that's my high-level answer to it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking to Mike Schilt, skipper of the San Diego Padres here on Ben and Woods this morning. And, I'm typically the guy that I don't want to use the word blame, but I put the responsibility on the guys. Hey, can you go today? You can? Great. Give me what you got. Sometimes it doesn't work out. I tend to kind of put it on the players, the guys that are actually executing the pitches. And in some cases, Skip, not executing the pitches. I wanted to ask about one in particular. You've managed a lot of guys. You've managed a lot of left-handers out of the bullpen. A guy like Yuki Matsui, who early in the season, very, very effective and has maybe gotten a little less so, walking too many guys, I think, for probably everybody's liking right now. How do you get him back on track? And it's got to be a kind of a tougher call in a higher leverage situation for you to go to Yuki right now. How do you get him back going again?
Well, you know, a couple things about a tougher call. I mean, I'm going to go back to my previous answer. It's not a silo of when you can put these guys in, right? Like, you know, so sometimes it's just you have two or three guys. That's the other thing that is super fun for my chair.
Sure.
Is when people are like, you can't pitch. I'm not talking about Yuki because I'll get to Yuki in a minute. Yuki's going to be fine. But it's just interesting. Like, this guy is pitching. There's not anybody else to pitch some days, you know. And so that part's just a sidebar for my chair. That's super fun.
I bet.
You know, but anyway, Yuki, listen, he's similar to a fair amount of guys in our bullpen. And this is the other part that is just real. There's a learning curve. No one loves a learning curve in the big leagues on any team that's looking to compete. In any sport, no one wants to hear. And I wish it didn't have to happen. But the fact of the matter is, learning curves are real. And, you know, this is the top of the people's profession. And Yuki's come in and he's had some really good moments for us. And, you know, sometimes we forget those. And we do expect these guys to be absolutely on point every single time. We get frustrated when it doesn't happen. And I get it. People, we care. We all care. We want the best, and I expect the best. So don't misinterpret. But I'm also realistic that, yeah, he's been really good. He's helped us out in big spots this year. So I don't forget that and draw from that and draw from his experience in Japan being a closer. And then conversely, like, it's his first year in the big leagues. It's his first year, you know, figuring out what this all looks like, figuring out the hitters. And, oh, by the way, he's doing it in an entirely different culture. And that's the other thing that, you know, I have the experience of understanding and seeing. And, look, guys, I ain't making no excuse for anybody. We get it's a bottom-line game. I understand that. But they are human, and he's in a different country, and he's making adjustments, you know, in a lot of different areas. It takes a while, whether your player got traded, used to be in another team, become another country. There's just human. And so, you know, yeah, Yuki's done well. He's also struggled with his consistency of his command, and that's you know, the thing that he's working on the most. Is he trying too hard? Is he, you know, still feeling out, you know, what he's doing, certain role? All of that's true. But Yuki has got the stuff in the zone to get out, and we just need to find that more consistently.
You know, I think that learning curve comment is so interesting because we're seeing it before our eyes with Matt Waldron. And you talk about needing, you know, a little more length from your starting pitching. You're getting it from Matt Waldron. And he's the guy that I think as fans, we didn't really expect that much from this season. But in spring training, you and AJ and the team, you chose him to be your fifth starter at that point. Did you have an idea that this was possible, you know, just based on what you saw from him, you know, early on this spring?
Actually, yes.
Okay.
You know, you see the best version of guys. Now, you know, you mentioned Estrada. You asked about Walter. Like, we sat down with Jeremiah and said, hey, man, you can be a really good eighth inning guy if based on your stuff. Ruben Nieblo does a great job. Ben Fritz, our bullpen coach, is tremendous as well. You know, had a clear plan for him. So getting back to Matty, you know, Matty's got an elite pitch that, you know, when it's hard to catch, it's got to be hard to hit, right? I mean, he had a big league catcher, and, you know, Higgy's his guy, and this guy's been in 17 years of professional baseball, and he does a great job with him. But occasionally it's like, you know, he's hanging on for – he's just along for the ride with his thing and just trying to corral it. He does, you know, like I said, he's done a great job. But hard to catch, hard to hit, man. And so – and it's an outlier pitch. These guys aren't – in the big leagues aren't seeing it every day. And plus he's coupled with a good sweeper that he can throw. And he's got, you know, he's got a legitimate fastball. It's 90-93 that he can keep people honest with, and he can locate because he's a strike thrower with it. So, man, what a great combination. So you just know, all right, if this guy can get through, you know, some of the learning curves of, you know, understanding what a big league starter looks like on a consistent basis, routine, his pregame routine, and then the feeling out process of how much to throw it, how hard to throw it, when to mix his other pitches in, and he's able to get it in the zone and you know, you start to see what we're seeing now. So, you know, that's the reason he's on the club.
Talking to the skipper, Mike Schilt here on Ben and Woods this morning, and I know you're not on Twitter, but you know who John Boy Media is. I couldn't let you off the hook this morning without asking you about
he knew this was coming.
The lip-reading video. I'm sure you've seen it. I wonder if the players have asked you about it. I had to bring it up, your ejection in New York the other day. Have you seen this clip?
No, I have not.
Oh, yes, he hasn't
right,
seen
well,
it.
Boy. I'll get it to
I
you.
I have heard about it.
Okay, you have heard it. All right. So you know what I'm talking about. I'm not completely going in blind here.
I know. Look, I was ejected. I know what I said. So
yeah, you know. True. You didn't know that everyone else is going to know what
that,
you said.
Though. That's exactly right. Do you feel a little violated by that whole thing?
I've gotten over that violation. I don't love it. You know, I don't know how it was interpreted. The same guy, which he's, you know, he's doing his gig. Everybody's got a gig, and that's fine. You know, he caught me in Chicago years ago in a similar fashion. So I know it exists. Maybe I've got to be, you know, covering my mouth.
Mike, the title of the video was Manager Politely Asks to Be Ejected.
Yeah, that was the title.
You're a nice man.
You're a nice guy.
I mean, it's not the worst thing.
It's nothing to apologize for, in my opinion.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah, I don't apologize. I mean, listen, you know, I think you're asking the question, though, my take. I don't, you know, listen, always have our guys' backs. You know, I made it pretty clear using an expletive that typically comes out about the actual pitch.
Yes, you did.
Which, you know, Manny took exception with. I took exception with. I wanted it to be clear that there was a, you know, there was an unhappiness that took place with the judgment. But then after that, you know, it's like, look, I'm not going to, you know, and sometimes I've got a good relationship in general with umpires, even though you probably see me yelling at them a lot.
Sure.
But overall, I've got a very respectful, rightfully, relationship with them. They have a hard job to do. I grew up washing and shining shoes of umpires for, you know, 6 years and, you know, hearing people yelling at them, banging on doors. And that was back in the day when, you know, it was right beside a clubhouse and there was a little less security, in double A. So I lived their lives and I empathize with the, you know, the challenges they have. And so the point I'm ultimately getting at, I don't have a real reputation. I'll have some one-offs, had one earlier. I'll probably have another, where I'll really get into somebody, if it's warranted. And yeah, it was warranted for the ejection and make sure that, you know, support our guy and make sure they know what we don't appreciate it. But my point is these guys won't throw, and I said they won't throw me out, but I got to like, it's okay, man. You can, it's all right, you know? So anyway, that was as much of what that looks like. As Paul Harvey would say, now you know most of the rest of the story.
Well, yeah, and our take was, you know, people were worried, was Manny really know that he's got his back?
Manny,
you know, he's
mad.
Not really, really mad. And we both said, Manny, more than any other player, knows how things work. I mean, Manny knows exactly how these things work.
See, I find it interesting that I don't know any, you know, the public opinion is public opinion. People are clearly entitled to them. So it's interesting to me that people would even ask that, because Aguino texted me, you know, day after or later that night, and you know, whenever it came out, you know, and he's like, "That's, you know, I won't share the text." He's like, "You always got the back, you know, checked in on me, but like, yeah, this is you, and you know, you're, you know," he was complimentary about how it went down, and he was complimentary about, you know, taking care of Manny. So, it's interesting, like, you can, you know, people can complain that you didn't take care of him enough, like, you know, I should have.
No one doubts that you've got your players back.
Yeah,
like, that's the one thing no one could ever doubt. You've got your players back,
right,
for sure.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate it as always. We joked, you're actually tougher on the reporters and the radio people than you are on the umpires.
That's right. Keep it coming.
Wait a minute. The radio people.
Yeah!
Wait a minute.
Here we go.
Hey.
Here we go.
You guys need to be drug tested.
See? You're out of here. You're gone.
That's true.
You're gone. You've been ejected from this interview, Mike.
Yeah,
thank you
very
much.
You wanted it. You wanted it. Let's go. You're gone. Thanks
so
much,
tonight.
Skip. Appreciate
it.
Thank you.
See you.
There he is. The skipper, Mike Shelter, Manager's Report, brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.